ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 40 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड प्रेयर्स द प्रेयर्स ऑफ अक्रूरा। वी गोइंग टू चैंट टेक्स्ट 11। सत्वम रजस्तम इति भवता प्रकृतेर्गुणा तेषु हि प्राकृता प्रोता आब्रह्मस्तावरादया सत्वं रजस्तम इति भवता प्रकृतेर्गुणा तेषु हि प्रकृता प्रोता आब्रह्मस्तावरादया। Matajis, please. So we're going to read a few translations, and if you pay attention, it's very typical Vaishnava mood. Basically, Akrura is glorifying Krishna with choice prayers, and he is actually putting himself in a very humble position. Like, you know, the Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. So we're going to hear the prayers of Akrura. There is like about 18 of them. So I'll just read the translations. So translation for this verse, text 11. Goodness, passion and ignorance, the qualities of your material nature, entangle all conditioned living beings from Brahma down to the non-moving creatures. Text 12. I offer my obeisances to you, who as the supreme soul of all beings, witness everyone's consciousness with unbiased vision. The current of your material modes produced by the force of ignorance flows strongly among the living beings who assume identities as demigods, humans and animals. Text 13 and 14. Fire is said to be your face, the earth your feet, the sun your eye, and the sky your navel. The directions are your sense of hearing, the chief demigods your arms, and the oceans your abdomen. Heaven is thought to be your head, and wind your vital air, and physical strength. Trees and plants are the hairs on your body, the clouds the hair on your head, and the mountains the bones and nails of you, the Supreme. The passage of day and night is the blinking of your eyes, the progenitor of mankind, your genitals, and the rain, your semen. Text 15. All the worlds with their presiding demigods and teeming populations originate in you, the inexhaustible Supreme Personality of Godhead. These worlds travel within you, the basis of the mind and senses. Just as aquatics swim in the sea, or teeny insects burrow within an Udumbara fruit. Text 16. To enjoy your pastimes, you manifest yourself in various forms in this material world, and these incarnations cleanse away all the unhappiness of those who joyfully chant your glories. Text 17 and 18. I offer my obeisances to you, the cause of the creation. Lord Matsya, who swam about in the ocean of dissolution, to the Lord Hayagriva, the killer of Madhu and Kaitaba, to the immense tortoise, Lord Kurma, who supported Mandara Mountain, and to the boar incarnation, Lord Varaha, who enjoyed lifting the earth. This is a small purport. The Vishvakosha dictionary states that the word Akuparaya indicates the king of tortoises. Text 19. Obeisances to you, the amazing lion, Lord Narasimha, who remove your saintly devotee's fear, and to the dwarf Vamana, who stepped over the three worlds. Text 20. Obeisances to you, Lord of the Bhrigus, who cut down the forest of conceited royal order, and to Lord Rama, the best of the Raghu dynasty, who put an end to the demon Ravana. Text 21. Obeisances to you, Lord of the Satvatas, and to your forms of Vasudev, Sankarsana, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. Text 22. Obeisances to you, your form as the faultless Lord Buddha, who will bewilder the Daityas and Danavas, and to Lord Kalki, the annihilator of the meat-eaters posing as kings. Text 23. O Supreme Lord, the living entities in this world are bewildered by your illusory energy, becoming involved in the false concepts of I and mine. They are forced to wander along the paths of fruitive work. Text 24. I too am deluded in this way, O Almighty Lord, foolishly thinking my body, children, home, wife, money, and followers to be real, though they are actually unreal as a dream. Text 25. Thus mistaking the temporary for the eternal, my body for myself, and sources of misery for sources of happiness, I have tried to take pleasure in material dualities. Covered in this way by ignorance, I could not recognize you as the real object of my life. Text 26. Just as a fool overlooks a body of water covered by the vegetation grown in it and chases a mirage, so I have turned away from you. Text 27. My intelligence is so crippled that I cannot find the strength to curb my mind, which is disturbed by material desires and activities, and constantly dragged here and there by my obstinate senses. Text 28. Being thus fallen, I am approaching your feet for shelter, O Lord, because although the impure can never attain your feet, I think it is nevertheless possible by your mercy. Only when one's material life has ceased, O Lotus Navel Lord, can one develop consciousness of you by serving your pure devotees. Text 29. Obeisances to the Supreme Absolute Truth, the possessor of unlimited energies, is the embodiment of pure transcendental knowledge, the source of all kinds of awareness, and the predominator of the forces of nature that rule over the living being. Last verse, text 30. O son of Vasudev, obeisances to you, within whom all living beings reside. O Lord of the mind and senses, again I offer you my obeisances. O Master, please protect me who am surrendered unto you. Umagyana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militamene Tasmai Sri Guruve Nama Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Devamrita Swamini Tinamine Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Destarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nittananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasari Gaura Bhaktavanda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Panchakalpataravyasya Kripa Sindhu Vyavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So those of you don't know, many of you don't know me, my name is Shastra Krit Das. I'm serving in New Dwaraka Dham, Los Angeles. So honored to be here speaking in front of so many of my superiors and, you know, role models. So, with your blessings, I may be able to say something useful. So, as I mentioned before the reading the text, this is actually typical Vaishnava mood, glorifying Krishna and his devotees as everything and taking a really humble position ourselves. We are nothing. So in this mood, we can chant the holy names of the Lord constantly. But a person who is envious, he cannot do this. An envious person cannot glorify Krishna or his devotees. An envious person becomes envious as soon as he sees somebody doing nice. It's like Prabhupada gives this example how two people were discussing and one person said, you know, such and such has become a high court judge. And the other person immediately said, oh, you know, I don't think so, it's possible. The other person said, yes, it's, you know, it's true. I know for sure that he's a high court judge. And this person said, maybe he's a high court judge, but I don't think he's getting paid. So this is envy. And a person who is not a devotee must be envious. There is, you know, there must be envy. That's why we are here in this material world. We are envious of Krishna and his devotees. So by default, if somebody is not a devotee, he is envious. There is no doubt about that. And an envious person, one of the qualities of an envious person is he's always speaking bad about another devotee or another person. It says in the Mahabharata that if we speak bad about another person's faults, even if they're wrong, even when the person we're speaking about has done some mistakes, we get the same bad karma as the person who made the mistakes just for speaking about it. And if we speak bad about somebody and they didn't do the mistakes that we're talking about, then we get twice as much as bad karma. So this is actually very risky position, that, you know, to speak about somebody else. And There are so many times Prabhupada emphasized this point. One time Indradumna Maharaj was actually traveling with Prabhupada, and the immigration officer was actually very rude to Prabhupada. And Indradumna Maharaj couldn't tolerate it, so after a while he said to the immigration officer, "If you talk to my guru one more time like this, I'm going to punch your face." And you know, Maharaj was young and tall and big, and the immigration officer said, "I thought you guys were supposed to be peaceful." And Maharaj said, "Yeah, peaceful, but you mess with the pure devotee, you know, I show you what's peaceful, what's really peaceful." And Prabhupada left the immigration counter and he turned to Maharaj and said, "Do you understand, Indradumna, that because they are not devotees, they have no good qualities?" And Maharaj was so shaken up by this exchange, he couldn't really understand, like fully understand what Prabhupada was saying. So Prabhupada said again, "Do you understand that because they are not devotees, they have no good qualities?" And Maharaj heard it, but then Prabhupada said it third time, "Indradumna, do you understand that because they are not devotees, they have no good qualities?" And then that finally struck Maharaj that, you know, Prabhupada's making a point here, you know, because they are not Krishna conscious, they're filled with all kinds of bad qualities. Harav abhaktasya kuto mahadguna, manoratena, something I forget the end of. So they're on the mental platform, they're riding on the chariot of the mental platform, they have no good qualities. On the other hand, a devotee, yasyasti bhakti bhagavati akinchana sarvai gunais tatra samasate sura, a devotee is filled with all the good qualities of the demigods automatically just by chanting Hare Krishna. So a person who is not a devotee, they won't even understand if they read the books, you know, what they're talking about, what to speak of practicing it. It's not possible. Just like Prabhupada would say, Krishna says that just to know Him, it's a rare thing. Manushyanam sarsreshu kaschid yatati siddhaye. What to speak of loving Krishna? Because if you don't know somebody, how can you love somebody? Similarly, unless somebody is a devotee, they can't understand what these prayers are talking about, what to live by it, what to practice it. They can't understand. It's like even when the Panchatattva was practicing, performing Yuga Dharma in Navadvip, you know, the locals, they didn't understand. Like Gopal Chappal and so many others were envious of the Panchatattva and they were spreading rumors. And Gopal Chappal even created a big drama by putting all kinds of worshipable items for Chandi outside Srivas Thakur's house. It was a big drama. I was asking one of my Bengali god brothers, you know, why is this in Bengal, even when they talk, it sounds like, you know, like they're fighting. It's very dramatic, you know, like the Argentinians. It's like very expressive, very emotional like this. And my god brother said, you know, there's a saying in Bengal that when God has given you two hands, while you're speaking, you should beat each other up. So this is the kind of mood. And Gopal Chappal was putting all kinds of things outside Srivas Thakur's place. And Ramchandra Puri also, when Ishwara Puri was leaving this world, he was actually singing prayers in separation from Krishna. But Ramchandra Puri, even though was a disciple of such a great Vaishnava, he couldn't understand. He was actually advising his guru, saying, you know, why you're speaking like this at the time of death, you should be meditating on the impersonal Brahman like this. And Ishwara Puri was so sad, "I'm so unfortunate, this rascal has to be happened to be here, you know, at the time of death. I don't know what's my destination." So nobody understands. This is very esoteric. Rajavidyam, Rajaguyam, Pavitram, Idamuttam. Nobody understands, nobody can understand this science unless somebody is a bhakti yogi, somebody is a devotee. Recently I was in Jagannath Puri, I was visiting Jagannath temple with my mother. I went to this Kirchor Gopinath's temple behind the Jagannath temple. And I wanted to offer a ghee lamp, you know, to Gopinath, and I had all kinds of prayers in mind. And the priest called me and my mother to come in, you know. I didn't know what he had in mind. So we went in and he put my head in the feet of Gopinath, and then he can see I don't know Hindi, so he started talking to my mom. So he is saying to my mom, you know, how many kids you have? So 3 kids. Okay, so I'm going to bless all of them, but you have to commit whether you want to give like 1 lakh rupees or 50,000 rupees or, you know, whatever you want to give. And then he says, okay, say the names of your kids. And then my mother is saying the names of my sisters. And then he's asking, okay, how many kids they have? And then she's saying. And then he's asking, okay, what about your son? And then she's saying the name. And he's asking, okay, what about, you know, his kids? And then she's pointing to me and say, oh, he's a brahmachari, you know. Oh, he started like, you know, freaking out. You know, as soon as he heard this word brahmachari, I can understand what he's saying. He's saying, he keeps saying in front of the Lord, you know, Gopinath, oh, what is this brahmachari? This is nonsense. You should get married. You should have children. You know, this is like real life. What is the brahmachari? Kept saying like shadi, 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 like this, you know. And I had all kinds of prayers, so I'm offering ghee lamp, but then I went here, this I had to stop and then ask Gopinath, you know, please don't take this seriously, you know. This is like he started pretty much like cursing me in front of the deities, you know. So I'm stopped everything, and then I'm telling my mom, give him whatever, you know, he asks for, just give him some money, you know, I want to get out, you know. So people don't understand, you know. Even at the feet of Gopinath, the priest, they were no understanding, like, what is a brahmachari, you know, what we're trying to do like this, you know. So, this is the difficulty that as devotees we are facing. Like we can see in these prayers, how Akrura is saying, you know, for a person who's chanting your glories, for him, you know, material nature, there's no real anxieties exist. Same thing Parikshit Maharaj said in Srimad Bhagavatam. Nirvitta tarshay rupagiyamana bhavau sada chotra manobirama ka uttama sloka gunanuvadat puman virajeta vina pasugna. Pasugna, the person, you know, unless he's a butcher, killer of animals or killer of his own self, how can he refuse to glorify the Supreme Personality of God? It is impossible. So this is the process, hearing and chanting the glories of Krishna and his devotees. But to do this, we have to be in a certain mood. Otherwise we cannot chant, there will be no taste, there will be no reciprocation from Krishna. Therefore, the guru actually creates a certain mood in his disciples. So it says, acharyavan purusho veda. One who has an acharya, he can actually understand the Vedas. Otherwise, we cannot understand these teachings unless we are humble. It's like Yamunacharya, when he was in the ashram of his spiritual master. The disciples of Kolahala came and knocked on Yamunacharya's door and said, where is your guru? Yamunacharya said, he's not here. How can I help you? Oh, your guru lost in debate with our guru Kolahala, so he's supposed to pay some, you know, tax, and he's not paying. Is he crazy? You know, does he want to die like this? And immediately, like Yamunacharya, like 6 or 7 years old boy, immediately said, you know what? Your guru is a fool number one. And the guards were like startled, how do you know? And he said, he has disciples like you. He must be a fool number one because you guys are so arrogant. Unless, you know, the guru is so arrogant, you cannot have disciples like you. So this is true. Whatever, you know, whatever a disciple does, it directly reflects the spiritual master. So we have to be very careful. So the guru actually trains us in humility and tolerance and giving all respects to others. It's like this one time, one of my friends, he was a brahmachari. But he was having some difficulties in maintaining the brahmacharya vows. So he was actually serving Maharaj, Radhanath Maharaj. He's a disciple of Maharaj. So as he was serving lunch, this devotee started crying like uncontrollably, you know. You know, being in the presence of a pure devotee, you know, he became like really emotional. And Maharaj like asked him like, what's wrong? And this devotee said, you know, Maharaj, I wish I don't have to tell you. I wish you know it yourself. And Maharaj responded saying, you know, I know what's going on, but you should say it anyways for your own purification. When you open your mouth and admit your lowly position, your fallen position, then you have chance of coming out of that situation. As long as you don't admit you act out of false ego, you want the prestige, especially in front of the guru, then you will never be able to come out of it. That's a very valuable instruction. I always remember that. There's so many details to the history, but so the guru was humbling this devotee. This one time, we went to airport to pick up my Guru Maharaj, Devamrita Maharaj, and there was this aspiring god brother. He came along, and you know, he was really flaky. He would come sometimes, he would chant, but then he would disappear, then he would come, he would chant. Every time my guru comes, he will come for sure, but other than that, nobody will see him. So Maharaj asked him, so how are you in the airport? He said, oh, I'm doing fine. Maharaj said, are you sure? Then he said, yeah, I'm fine. Maharaj said, are you sure? And then he said, yeah, I'm fine. Maharaj said, are you sure? And then he said, oh, I'm trying. And Maharaj said, oh, okay. So then, you know, Maharaj didn't want to continue the conversation until he admitted that he's actually not doing okay and he needs help. One time I was with Maharaj, Devamrita Maharaj in Melbourne. And I was actually listening to a lecture from, you know, from Radha Gopinath Temple. It was about how this devotee actually donated a major portion of his liver to help Shyam Sundar Prabhu and the devotee. His name is Gopinath also. And his wife also agreed, even though they just had a small baby and, you know, like this. So I was listening and I was so inspired, you know, I was thinking to myself, I also want to do some sacrifice, you know. I also want to do something special for my guru like this. And then I took my Guru Maharaj to a home program that was a complete failure. I was new there, I didn't arrange it, I just drove Maharaj there. And this happened to be like few old ladies. And this kid screaming everywhere and nobody is paying attention. Total, there was only 5 people. And Maharaj wanted to sing Radha Madhava. And then first time in my life I'm playing Murdanga. So he's like burning me with his eyes, you know. So the whole thing was a mess. And I was supposed to introduce Maharaj to this audience on top of that. And I didn't bring a recorder. So the whole way back he's chastising me, you know, why did you arrange such a program? Why did you arrange such a program? And then I didn't want to defend myself, you know. So Maharaj finally let me go because I didn't speak back. He said, anyways, this disciple lady is so special. She always wanted me to come home. So it was worth it like that. He was pacified. So when we came back, Maharaj was saying, I want you to go to Wellington to preach. to, you know, distribute Krishna consciousness like that. But, you know, I stayed in Wellington 5 years. It's like hellish weather, you know. So many things, for so many reasons, I didn't want to go there. So as soon as Maharaj mentioned Wellington, even though all day I'm thinking, you know, I want to do some sacrifice for him, I do. I said, oh, I don't like Wellington, Maharaj. And Maharaj put his bags down, looked at me and said, oh, it's all about what you like these days, is it? You become your own judge, jury and hangman. So he got on my case for another 15 minutes, you know. So I was sitting outside, I'm thinking, where should I go to die, you know? Should I jump off a bridge or, you know, I don't want to live after this. All day I'm thinking to please him. But then as soon as he gave me some service, I immediately like blurted out that, you know, I don't want to do it, you know. The next morning I go to Guru Puja and then he's singing like Guru Mukha Padma Vakya and then he kept like looking at me, you know. So it was like, I don't know, it was kind of funny, but at the same time I was, you know, so embarrassed because only like he has a smile in his face and he's pointing out, you know, this is the meaning of what we sing every day. So the Guru is always training us in tolerance, humility, gratitude, like this. Otherwise we cannot really chant as long as we have false ego. It's like Prabhupada also, how many times we hear from Prabhupada disciples that even though they had few minutes of interaction, Prabhupada usually was very strict with them, chastised them like this. And they enjoyed it, and when we hear it, we enjoy it. Because this is like real guru, the training is the most important thing. Somebody was asking Prabhupada about Ekadashi. And Prabhupada said, you know, pointing to the disciples, he said, my disciples, they can't even follow the four regulative principles, you know. What to speak of so many intricate things, I don't want to discuss, Prabhupada dismissed, you know. Another time, there was one devotee who was a sannyasi. He had left, he's gone away, got married, but then he felt so bad, he came back and he was saying to Prabhupada, you know, Prabhupada, I really want to take some risk for you, you know. I want to go to Vietnam and preach or something. I really want to risk my life. And Prabhupada said, no, I've given you morning program and evening program. So you first start attending those and then we'll discuss about like life-threatening, you know, situations. We'll discuss that later, you know. Another time Prabhupada was walking in Germany. And as they're walking and the disciples said, Prabhupada, Prabhupada, don't go that side, you know, come this side. They were walking in some fields. And Prabhupada, that's why. Prabhupada, they said, today is Ekadashi and this is like a wheat field. So they said to Prabhupada, don't go that way, you know, come this way. And Prabhupada took his cane, pointed out and said, don't be fanatics. So, you know, Prabhupada was very practical. And always like training his disciples in how to be preachers, how to be practical and enthusiastic, not get carried away with so many details. As I was reading this chapter and previous chapters, there is actually a verse where Akrura is actually saying that, you know, even though I'm sent by Kamsa to go and collect Krishna Balaram. And we all know why Akrura went to bring Krishna Balaram. So Kamsa wanted to kill them. But Akrura is praying. But I'm sure my Lord understands my intentions. As a devotee, Krishna and Balaram, I'm sure even though I'm going for, you know, for this cause of bringing Krishna and Balaram to Mathura to be killed, still I'm hopeful that Krishna and Balaram understand my intentions and therefore they will bless me still. So I was thinking this is actually very, very important for our spiritual growth. That the feeling that we have that the spiritual master And Krishna actually understands this. This is actually very, very nourishing to have this, to know this, that the Guru is actually pleased with us. Without this, you know, I see, I went to Wada Farm, I go to Bhaktivedanta Hospital, even places in New Zealand, remote places, where devotees don't get any recognition. They're working hard, you know. They're working very, very hard. There's no, materially speaking, there's, you know, no reward. But the devotees, we can see, they're so blissful and so happy because they know what they're doing is authorized service. Either authorized by their counselors or the spiritual master. So the devotees, we can see how confident. I'm meeting so many grihasthas, senior grihasthas. They're so exalted, you know. I was sick. I was lying in Bhaktivedanta Hospital, like Madhavananda Prabhu came and put his hand to see if I have fever, and Vaishnava Seva Prabhu and Dwarakadish Prabhu. And I was just meeting, you know, I've met so many doctors in my life, you know, but these people, I don't even know them, but just seeing them, being touched by them, I want to get off and, you know, give obeisances. Because we can see, you know, these are like completely surrendered souls in the working hard for the mission of the spiritual master. And they also so satisfied, you know. Otherwise, even in the Dham, we go like Vrindavan, Mayapur, Jagannath Puri, Tirupati. There are devotees living, Westerners and also Indian devotees. But we can see if they don't have any direction, any blessing of their guru, they don't know what they're doing. You can see in their faces, they're just completely bewildered. And you know what happens when you're not sure about something, when you're not sure about your Krishna consciousness. There's only two things immediately we're attracted to. Money and opposite sex. There's nothing else, you know. This is what, by default, we become immediately attracted to these two things. And we can't maintain our vows. It's a very dangerous position. There's actually, we had a brahmachari meeting. And one brahmachari, younger brahmachari, was asking the senior brahmachari, you know, about security. So this younger brahmachari was asking, oh, you know, how will, you know, if I give my life to Krishna, you know, how will I survive, you know, what will I do? And the senior brahmachari told confidentially, you know what? The problem in ISKCON is we have too much money and too many beautiful women. So don't worry that you will not have money or, you know, security. The problem is we have too much of everything. So the worry is how are we going to be strong enough to resist all this? So this is the advice he gave, and the boy became immediately peaceful. You know, it's true. You know. There's so much available here. The question is, you know, how, it's not like how are we going to survive, it's like, you know, what are we going to do with it? How are we going to be strong enough to resist this? So unless we are fully engaged in the Guru's mission, you know, then the Maya is just waiting, you know. Maya is working overtime in Kali Yuga, you know. They'll capture us right away. And you can see, you know, you can have like temple full of devotees who wants to go overseas and make money and make buildings and like this. Or you can have like temple full of devotees who are like so focused and renounced and wants to serve. It's such a big difference. One is like a bulb, you know. You have a bulb, the light is dull and splayed out. Another one is like a laser beam. You know, it's so focused. You can even cut metal if the light is so focused, you know. So it's a great blessing to actually be under authorities and able to serve. And as Akrura is praying, for a devotee, for ourselves, we don't have any problems. Like Prahlad Maharaj also prayed, Naiva Duje Paraduratya Vaitaranyas Tadvirya Gayana Mahamrita Magna Chitta Soche Tato Vimukha Cheta Sendriyarto Maya Sukhaya Baram Udvahato Mudan. Prahlad Maharaj is praying, for myself, I don't have any problems, you know. I'm only worried about these fools and rascals. working hard, you know, foaming at the mouth. So for a devotee, we don't have any problem. When I went to Srirangam, they told me this pastime, how there was this person who was very greedy, businessman, and his profession was breaking rocks. And he was so insecure, he was working so hard day and night breaking rocks. And one day he broke this huge rock, and deep within rock, there was a tadpole, this baby frog. And there was enough water for the baby frog to survive within this rock. So this person immediately had this realization, you know, why am I working so hard? By nature's way, Krishna is providing for every living entity, even deep within the rocks. So he just started chanting the names of Ranganath. He quit everything, you know. So much so, Ranganath would bring him lunch every day. And Ramanujacharya was noticing every day Ranganath is going someplace around this lunchtime with prasad, you know. Then he saw he's bringing to this devotee. So Ramanujacharya called him and said, you know, you shouldn't take service from the Lord. You should not accept this. I will arrange prasad for you, you know. Don't take from the Lord like that. Even to this day, they send every day prasad to this family. So for a devotee, you know, we have no worries, no issues, you know. It's just like at the end of the Gita, Krishna asked Arjuna, so you heard the whole Gita, so what's your conclusion? Arjuna said, you know, nashta moho smriti labdha, my illusion is gone, my memory is re-established. So this is actually the blessing that if we read Bhagavad Gita, we can all have the same results as Arjuna, if we actually read, especially Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, full of purports. So we won't be in illusion thinking like we are so great, you know. That's one of the diseases of material existence. It's like one time this reporter came to see Prabhupada, and then he asked Prabhupada, like, you know, why are they all bowing down to you, you know? And Prabhupada said, they're wondering why you're not bowing down. And he says, I don't bow down. I don't bow down to anyone. Prabhupada says, yes, you do. You're bowing down to old age, you're bowing down to disease, you know, birth, you know, sickness, so many things you're bowing down. So Prabhupada is making a point that, you know, you may think we are so great, but, you know, we are not. But that's the illusion. By reading these books and prayers, that illusion is actually removed. And this is actually the only hope in Kali Yuga, the age of quarrel and hypocrisy. It's full of cheating propensities in Kali Yuga. One of my friends is a doctor. He was driving this big Mayavadi guru around. He's very famous in India, around the world. So my friend asked this guru, like, so where did you get your knowledge from, you know? And this person said, I was sitting in a cave for 10 days, and all this came to me, you know. All this spiritual wisdom came to me. So people are so cheap, you know. They don't have any parampara, they don't give any credit to any authority, you know. No devotion, nothing. Just sitting in the cave, then you get, you know, enlightened in 10 days. This is a cheating propensity of Kali Yuga. There was one time I was sitting in my book table, and this Nepali boy came, and he's a science major. He's a pure scientist, you know, and he's talking about the soul, and he was asking me about the evidence for consciousness, and I'm telling him whatever a little bit I know. He kept disagreeing. And this one Mataji came and said, you know, Shastrakrit, there is actually a funeral. I want you to come and speak about how the soul is eternal. And she said, I can give you like $150 just for speaking a few minutes, you know. She knows I'm a book distributor and we can always use some Lakshmi, you know, extra Lakshmi. And then I said, you know, Mataji, I have to see what I'm doing. I'll get back to you. And then she says, I can actually give you like $250 if you come just for 10 minutes. And immediately this boy is asking me, you know, asking her, so what is this about? what do you want him to do? And then she's saying, oh, I want him to come and speak about how the soul never dies and the family should not cry. And the boy started considering going and giving a speech just because she's, you know, is a student and he's looking for a job. Even though 5 minutes ago, he was arguing with me like anything that he doesn't believe in the soul, you know. So the thing is, this is a perfect example, you know, how everybody is like so cheap in Kali Yuga. And all of a sudden, they show too much devotion if there is like some material perks. This is, that's why Bhaktisiddhanta used to say, you know, too much devotion is actually a sign of a thief. It's like in the Krishna pastime in Vatsasura, this demon disguised himself as a calf and he was playing with Krishna and cowherd boys. And Vatsasura actually got very excited because he figured, I'm so close to Krishna now, I'm actually the inner circles with Krishna. Just matter of time, I'm going to kill Krishna. So he just thought of this, he became so excited, and all of a sudden, for no reason, he started jumping the tail in the air, and he's like so happy. Then he caught Krishna's attention. He's thinking, this, what's going on? It's like, you know, unusual ecstasy is being displayed here, you know. Then immediately, like, Krishna can see, oh, you know, this is a demon. So too much devotion is also a sign of a thief. So we have to be genuine devotees, and unless we read these teachings of Prabhupada, you know, there is actually no hope. There is no hope. There is one last story from the Mahabharata, how there were Maharaj Yudhisthira was in his court, and Bhima was actually guarding the door, and one personality came and said, I want to meet the king. Bhima said, the king is busy, I can help you, you know, just ask whatever. And this personality said, you know, on the way here I saw this fence is eating the crops, so can you explain to me how that is going on, how that is possible? Bhima thought for a second. He said, I can't understand. You go in and ask Yudhisthira, you know. So he sent the person, and another person came and said, I have a question I want to ask Yudhisthira Maharaj. And Bhima said, you know, you can ask me, I can try, you know. This person said, you know, I saw an elephant was able to pass through a hole, but his tail got stuck. The tail couldn't go in. Can you explain how it's possible? Again, Bhima couldn't answer. He sent him inside. And third person came and he said, oh, I have a question. That a bucket of water filled so many jugs, but then when the jugs of water poured back in the bucket, it's not filling the bucket. So can you explain what this is? So again, Bhima couldn't understand. He sent him inside. The last person came, fourth person came, and he said, you know, I have a question. Bhima by then became humble, you know. And this person said, I saw a mountain is being pulled down by a thin rope. How is that possible? Can you explain? So he couldn't understand. He sent him inside. And then Bhima himself went inside to ask Yudhisthira, you know, what's going on? What these questions mean? And Yudhisthira Maharaj explained how in Kali Yuga, the fence, the guardians, the leaders who are supposed to give protection, they actually abuse their dependents. That's like the fence eating the crops. And the bucket filling the jugs, but the jugs not filling the bucket, that's like the parents. They will do so much for the children, but then when it comes for the children to serve the parents, they won't do it. They'll just put them in the old people home, or, you know, get rid of them, just want their inheritance. So this is like the second analogy, Kali Yuga analogy. And the third one was the elephant was able to go in, but the tail couldn't go in because it's like big politicians doing so much corruption. They will all get away, but small-time pickpockets and thieves, you know, they get thrown in prison and punished and like this. And the fourth one, most important one, is how a thin rope was able to pull down the mountain. That's like in Kali Yuga, everybody is so sinful, so their sinful reactions are like mountains. But the holy name is like a thin rope in the sense it's so easy to perform this Yuga Dharma Harinam. Just by chanting, you can actually destroy all these sinful desires, and we can actually, attain the goal of life, perfection of life. And Prabhupada has given us facility wherever we are. It's like one time, Prabhupada kept saying, the disciples, the Western disciples come to India, they get so sick all the time, They get cheated and, so many problems when they come to India. And Prabhupada kept saying, the demigods are standing in line to take birth in India, and if you don't complete bhakti yoga, you will take birth in a, mercantile family or a devotee family in India. And Prabhupada kept glorifying like this, and one devotee finally mustered up the courage to ask Prabhupada, like, Prabhupada, do we have to take birth in India in case I don't complete my bhakti yoga? And Prabhupada said, no, we have created so many centers, you can take birth in one of them, that's all right. So Prabhupada has given us this facility that wherever we are in the world, we can chant, we can distribute books, and we can be devotees. It's like our head pujari in New Dwaraka. He came to Sunday feast when he was 15 years old, but he never left after that. And he's such an amazing pujari. It's like Jaganivas Panchajangri Prabhu, Jananivas Panchajangri Prabhu. It's like that, very pure devotee. Even when I was going to India, he told me he's never been to India in all these 43, 44 years of his practice in Krishna consciousness. But you will never believe, he's such a pure devotee that Prabhupada has given us all these facilities that wherever we are, we can perfect our lives. Any quick questions or comments? Any corrections? It's like Gauranga Prabhu always says, how Prabhupada told one man that, their pronunciation may be imperfect, but their renunciation is perfect. I was thinking the same point, how Prabhupada has given Krishna consciousness, and even if we don't know the language, still, just from reading his English translation, people are becoming great scholars. Like before I came, we had a Prabhupada festival. And one Mataji was actually making an offering, offering to Prabhupada, Prabhupada disciple. And she was saying how, she was reading her offering. She said, oh Prabhupada, when you boarded the Yamaduta, you had like just some books and some oats and, you went with two heart attacks and like this, It took me like actually a couple of minutes. Actually said there's something missing here, But instead of saying Jaladuta, she was actually saying Yamaduta. Prabhupada was actually boarding the Yamaduta like this, But even though we don't know the language, we don't know the Sanskrit, we don't know Hindi like this, but by reading Prabhupada's books, we can actually become, greatest scholars of the Vedas, Vedic knowledge. Thank you so much for your kind attention and opportunity. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Bhagavan Ki Jai.